Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
What a blessing to be here at Watoto Church this morning and afternoon, possibly somewhere. As a church, we have been going through this series on cultural transformation. I do want to thank Pastor Julius Ruotlonyo for the opportunity he's given me today to bring this series to a close. I just want to thank God as we begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and your care on us, and the privilege to share at the Cultural Transformation series and to be a blessing to those that are hearing us today. Thank you, God, for your grace, for your mercy that has taken us through this corona season. We're grateful, Lord, that you've blessed us with life and you brought all our people that were even overseas back into the country, and we are grateful. So we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. The series that we've been going through has taken us through many life values. We've seen integrity, the value of integrity, the value of excellence, the value of compassion, servanthood, and the value of commitment. And as God shapes us through this, we create a culture within ourselves. I just want to look at this today. My text comes from Matthew chapter 13, verse 3 to 9, just to give you a background of where I'm coming from. In this Matthew gospel, he's thinking a lot about the soils and the sowing of the seed. And there are several types of soils that are mentioned in the text that we have. There is rocky soil. There is also thorny places within that soil. There is also good soil, and there is also different types of soils that we have. My emphasis today is because the good soil makes a big difference, and because culture must be planted on something that makes it grow in order for it to get the nutrients that make that culture foodable. However, as we have noted many times, there have been a lot of decay in our society today. There is a cry everywhere. It's a worldwide thing. And in Uganda, there's definitely a very, very big cry for the decay of society. And our culture has gone almost into the ruins. There are several things that have come. We live in with deeper feelings in our hearts. We are not grateful. We are not taking gratitude over it because the culture has basically almost lost its way. We are not reaching the lifestyle that we want. Come even inside the church, you will also discover that the church is struggling with the same. A culture has not caught up with us as Christians, something that would make us Christ-like. But we are not there. And possibly there could be something that is happening. Someone told me that culture is acquired. It is reshaped by each one of us. And wherever we are born into a culture that reshapes us in the long run. And every culture has a component of resistance. It resists any transformation. That's why you find possibly in your life there has been a real big challenge. Some of us have not transformed, even walked closer to what Scripture would say to us. And that frustrates you and frustrates me. Therefore, there needs to be a place where a good soil, where we can all be rooted in order to grow a culture that can bring us the fruit and the values that we had said before. The question that we ask ourselves is, if we all have roots in the gospel and we have roots in our systems, what then is the soil? Where are we planting? Where are these roots planted? Where do we come from? And that's the gospel that Matthew is addressing. He's bringing us that good soil that brought up 30 and 60 and 100 fruit. It was planted on good soil. In order for us to see a culture transform, it is so important for us to understand that that culture must rest on some good soil. I want to hit the bull on the head, and I say it must be the moral soil. For culture to transform effectively and give us what God wants us to be and create within us the likeness of God, it has to be planted on the moral soil. God is the ground of objective morality. Outside God, everything is pointless. Outside God, everything is a random cosmetic accident. Outside God, everything does not work. I know the longing in our hearts is that we must be godly. And every Christian, everywhere, longs for becoming godly. But how do you get that without God? How do we go that without being on the moral soil that God would plant us, and God himself is the ground of objective morality? The Bible is an interesting book because the Bible exposes culture in the Trinity. It recognizes God in the Trinity. And there are three things that I see here as the Bible exposes Trinity to us. Trinity is exposed to us as a personality. It is also exposed to us as relational. The three persons are relating, and therefore they are also exposed to us as a community with a culture in a content and context that it lives in. And so we see God himself in a culture. And in him, therefore, rises the best culture or the good culture that we are all looking for. I know that there are diversities of cultures, and those diversities of cultures are supposed to manifest from the main culture that God has himself created in the community of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are relational in their life and in their nature. They are personal in their nature. In that community has a context and a content that builds us. In Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 to 10, God says, "He is and there is no one else. I am God, and there is none like me. I declare the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, things that are not yet done." And listen to what he says. "My counsel, it shall stand. I will do all my pleasure." Meaning, there is that culture that God has established, and he wants to build that culture based on his morality. And it's that culture that he wants to saturate. And out of that culture shall create a diversity that all of us possibly are looking for. My friends, therefore, the moral framework of culture is indispensable. We need it. There can be no other way in which we can do culture unless there is a moral framework that brings in the culture that is desirable for the church. I want to say that when God created it, culture, when God built himself, he released three of his own attributes as a foundation on our moral basis. It is the holiness of God, the justice of God, and the love of God. This is the moral soil that determines the rest of the things that come from a culture. When we talk about the holiness of God, what are we referring to? You know, holiness is one of God's rarest character. It's something like gold. Gold is rare, and gold is hidden in the rocks and deeper. It's rarely seen. Holiness is one of the attributes of God that is very rare, and yet it forms the basis for any culture that we have. The second one is justice. Justice is the perfection of God's nature. And it helps us to see that the foundation we are planted on is perfect. We don't have to create a culture and plant it on a soil that is shaky, a soil that is full of things that are not right, a soil that is not perfect. It doesn't. And so that's why God uses justice as a foundation of what he wants us to become. And he does that because it helps us to see what he wants us to be. It is very important for us to look at his holiness, look at his justice, but also look at his love. The love of God, which is the agape love. A love that does not fail, falter, nor fail. Do you know why these three attributes are important for us? Because they are the ones that give us the ingredients that rise from a culture that will sustain society. If the church is based on this and built on this, then the church becomes the model for the rest of the world. And other cultures then can look into the church and find the church built on holiness, built on the justice of God, and built on the love of God. Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 4 tells us that for all his ways are just. That's God, all his ways. And how lovely would it be that my way and your way and all of us as a church, that our way should be just. That would be a great thing. That can impact our city. It can change our nation. Remember our vision. We love to see the city transformed, and we want to see the nation transformed. How possible will this be if we don't have a just system, or our lives are not just in their own nature? Only that can be found from God and not else anywhere. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it clearly tells us that he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is love. And if love would spring from our hearts, that's what God wants. And so everyone becomes very confident and very comfortable where love is the thing. 1 John 4, 16 again, it tells us the same story. God is love, and if we dwell in him, that would be a great thing. Many times we've also heard about dual Christianity, the dual morality that has been practiced in society, in the secular system, in the secular world. Dual morality is not helpful. Christianity rejects dual morality. Why? Because dual morality violates the principle of holiness and violates the and underscores justice. It also ignores the love of God. Dual morality begins to mess you up in your life. And we cannot live two lives at the same time. It will not be so. In Matthew chapter 13, which we read as our text, we are very sure of one big principle, that Christians are not to be tumbleweeds that have no roots, not at all. Neither are we transplants repeatedly moved from soil to soil. Every soil has a consequence, and the plants should not be moved to and fro. We should be able to understand what God has done for us, because that's critical. The second thing is that we must embody the truth. Moral soil is important, and out of moral soil comes the embodied truth. It's not a truth that you read from your mouth. It's not a truth that you talk and teach in class. It's a truth that you put on, like I put on this suit, because it's now part of me. Every place I move with this suit. And how much better that you are able to put truth in your life and embody truth, because that's the only way you can carry truth with you everywhere where you go, in your place of work, in your place of service, and in every other place. Why does Psalms 85, verse 10 to 11, talk about, you know, mercy and truth, righteousness and peace? They kiss each other. What does that mean? It's a point of reformation for all of us. It will reform the systems that we have. It will reform the practices that we have. There will be a return to God's favor in our lives, because those attributes bring back God's favor. There will also be a recreation of a godly culture. Why? Because truth is the essence of everything that we have, and will portray that culture coming right onto us, because it's important. I want to give you a scenario. When Jesus was taken up to Pilate for judgment, when he interacted with Jesus, Pilate asked the question, "What is truth?" And this was a moment when Jesus exposed himself to Pilate. And when Pilate saw the truth, it changed his way of doing things. He walked out and said to those accusers of Jesus, and said to them, "I don't see reason for condemning this man." Why? Because Pilate had an interaction with truth. Jesus exposed himself to him as truth. Speaking truth in love, we will grow together and build a culture that will change. The third thing is the applied word. It's not enough for us to embody the truth. It is important for us to practice that truth. Culture is transmitted by language. The language of the Bible is what you need and me. Psalms 119 and verses 105 gives us the principle that life is a path, and God's word is the light that helps us walk through that path. Let's apply the word into our hearts. In 2 Chronicles chapter 34, when the kings found the Bible hidden in the temple, it helped them to see a very big difference. The Israel began to rejoice because the Bible was found out and the Bible was the truth, and they began to apply. We read of Ezra. He took time to read and to read the whole Bible and to bring a truth from the scriptures, and it separated the people's lives from those who were living wickedly and those who now began to live righteously because of the power of applied scripture. And he created a separation that brought people to a place of life. The Bible is a credible book. There is no book like the Bible. It is a book of character and a book of culture. And I say that Christians, we have the opportunity to embrace the language of culture because we read it daily. It stimulates us. It changes our lives. And also I want to say to us that the Bible makes everything possible. Some of us think, why should God be the only one who judges the truth? Listen here. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, God invites you for a discussion so you can reason together with him. Why does he become the only moral source for culture and for the growth of culture? There is so much literature that is written outside there. And all that literatures that are written from different religious perspectives do not reflect the morality of God. The morality of God is found in the Bible and found in the Holy Scriptures that have revealed the morality of God. And we need to give diligence into this that helps us. I want to bring the fourth point here. We need to bear the identity. It's not enough for us to be planted on the moral soil. When you see, as Matthew says, the seeds that were sown, those seeds reflected what they got from the soil. Every soil, I told you, has a consequence. So it comes from the nutrients of the soil, and the soil will go grow up, and the identity of a plant will be seen by the fruit that it bears. The things that we talk about, the servanthood, you know, the excellence of life, and everything that we have discussed during the weeks that have been passed, are basically an identity of a moral soil. The moral ground that has been given unto us. Why does God give us that? Why must we bear the identity? Because God invites us to bear the identity so that we can continue perpetuating and bearing a transforming culture. And that's the only way we will go out there and transform the nations. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, and he gave us, those who became children, he gave us power to become his sons, so that we are able to look like him, so that we are able to portray the culture that changes other cultures and changes other lives, because that's a very important thing. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 says the same thing to us, that we can rise out through the nature of God can be in us and will make a bigger difference for us. We'll find ourselves soaked in the nature of God because that's what makes a big difference. Listen to me as I say, when we bear the identity, there's going to be trust. There is going to be an established community. There's going to be a human dignity that makes the difference. What is the trust that comes in here? The trust, therefore, will help us to develop more reputation. The community is a relational network of those that will transform others. And then we have the dignity, which will be a great respect for one another. And this boosts up and builds up the community of the church. John chapter 13, verse 34, 35 tells us about how we will be identified as people who love God. And so they will be known as the people of God. That's the culture we create. Micah 6, 8 gives us the justice that we must be involved in because that's a great thing that God is doing. I want to bring this to a close by saying a few things. If we are going to build a culture that transforms, we must be rooted on the moral soil, which is God himself. And I want to encourage all of us to take our roots deeper and deeper into God, deeper and deeper into Christ, deeper and deeper into the Spirit of God, because that's the soil that we can be soaked into. And out of that soil shall come this great bearing of the fruit that we have had. The transforming culture planted and rooted in the moral soil, which is love, justice, and holiness, will be rich in life values from which flow integrity. There will flow excellence, there will flow compassion, there will flow servanthood, unity or oneness and commitment. They flow from that moral soil. Everyone hearing me this morning, I want to pray to you that God will come into your heart and into your life and that Christ Jesus will take you through and plant you in his own moral soil and bring you into his own place and into his own body and make you a member of his own body. I just want you to note that that's what God wants to do with your life. Transforming culture makes a bigger difference based on that moral soil. It is also based basically on the embodied truth that we have. We must embody the truth. Let Christ dwell in us. Let Christ be, let's be rooted in him. These are the words of God. And when we be rooted in him and he dwells in us and his word dwells in us, we find ourselves growing together. And the fruit we bear will reflect a transformed culture. And those who come close to us will find themselves quite transformed as well. That's God's desire. So I want to encourage you and invite you today to accept Christ in your life. Because that moral transformation does not come when Christ is not in your life. Christ needs to be in your life. You need to come and bring your life and base that life on him. When you put that life on him, that life will find good moral soil where it can grow from that moral soil and begins to bear the fruit that is what it should be. Will you respond to the invitation of God and Christ in your life today? Will you allow him to plant you onto himself so that you, as a seed of your personal life, planted on the life of Jesus Christ, planted on the moral soil of God, you'll be able to grow from that and make a big difference in your life. I am going to remind you on one thing and I'll pray for you. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 tells us clearly, it's by the declaration in your mouth and through your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe it deeply in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. That's how people get saved. They just confess with their mouth, but believe in their heart, because then God takes you when you put your faith in him. It takes you and takes you as a seed of your life, and he will plant you on the moral soil and water you with his own truth, and then give you the language that you'll communicate, which is the word of God, and that you'll be growing in the context of the word and not in anything else. And there will be such a great thing coming out of your life. There will be fruit of excellence. If you've just heard this word, I just want to pray together with you. It's clear, as we've heard from the word of God, God is the moral soil that you can plant your life on. And if you're convinced out there that's the right thing for you to do, just bow your head, close your eyes, and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for being life for us. And thank you that we can trust you with our lives. And thank you that you can accept us just the way we are. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. He laid his own life for us who are sinners. And that we can find eternity only through him. Forgive my sins. And as I commit my life to you, and as I give my heart to you, and as I give myself to you, receive me, Lord, for I have believed in you as Lord and Savior of my soul. Forgive my sins and bring me a gift of eternal life. Thank you, Jesus, that from this day on, you are my Lord and you're my Savior. I believe in you. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.